a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant. That's a G, yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Second save in as many days. Rangers take the series, taking 2 out of 3. They have now evened up the season series. In the Lone Star Series, battle for the silver boot is now 5 games apiece. A couple of 2-run home runs by Josh Smith. Too much today as the Rangers win it 4-2.
Hello and welcome aboard the Paul Gallant Show with no Joe George. It is Gallant and George. On this Monday, July 15th of 2024, I am Paul Gallant. Over the course of today's show, we're going to talk about what the Houston Rockets were able to do in the Summer League. It seems like Reed Sheppard was a hell of a pick. We will also take a look at some things going on in the NFL, remembering a couple of people who have fallen over the course of the weekend. Absolute bummer. Jacoby Jones and our own Ken Hoffman, both passing away. But I did want to start by talking about the Houston Astros, who lost 2 of 3 to the Texas Rangers over the weekend, the last of which 4-2. They finished the first half of the year 4 games above .500, 50-46, just 1 game out in the American League West. And there's lots of things to be happy about, considering that they have overcome a ton of injuries, specifically on the pitching side of things, to rally from that awful 7-19 start to be where they're at right now. But this weekend was a missed opportunity. Yesterday, it's the same old with the runners left on base, 7, the 0-for-9 with runners in scoring position. The bases were loaded with no outs in the 5th inning, and you get nothing out of it. Saturday, you had a couple of bases loaded situations with 1 out. In the 1st inning, you'd already scored once, but 1 out. You go 0-for-2 after that. Bases loaded with 1 out in the 6th. You ground into a double play. 10 left on base on Saturday. 2-for-9 with runners in scoring position. And you could be in first place right now. The Angels beat the Mariners not once, not twice, but 3 times in a row this weekend. You should be in first place right now. And I'm not going to act like it's the end of the world or anything like that. I'm just saying this was a missed opportunity. There have been plenty of missed opportunities over the course of this season, and you really got to do well the first 41 games of the second half, because it's going to be brutal. 29 of their next 41 games are against the Mariners in first place, the Dodgers, the Rays, the Rangers, okay. Maybe they're not exactly what you thought they might be going into the year, but the Red Sox, the Orioles, you got 4 games against them in Baltimore. You got 3 games against the Phillies. You got 4 more against the Royals. You've got a brutal stretch coming up. You should have taken advantage this weekend. You should be in first place right now, and I'm not going to, again, act like it's the end of the world. All I'm saying is this weekend was a missed opportunity, and once again, it's the same issues that seem to be happening a lot, where the Astros have a rough night when it comes to runners in scoring position and leaving guys on base.
Yeah, I think particularly the fact it was such a April and May Astros loss makes it worse, combined with how the Mariners performed, or yeah, lack thereof, this weekend. But at the same time, like, we're not here to, oh, they're leading at All-Star break. Like, we're not throwing a parade for that. It is, like you said, it really just speaks to it's a missed opportunity, especially when the margin for error is so thin for this team.
Exactly. Exactly. Not the end of the world, but frustrating. Because this upcoming stretch, you're going to have to do well over it, and you are going to be taxing your arms. You already are. Does not seem like a lot of the injured arms are going to be returning anytime soon. Felt like every single playing catch situation involved a setback on Friday. I suppose things are looking a little bit better for Justin Verlander, because I think he threw 25 pitches yesterday off of a mound. So at least you got that going. But Luis Garcia, I don't know when he's coming back. At least people are spotting him out in Midtown.
Yeah, he's enjoying his weekend.
He's acquiring mass, that's for sure. Not looking as fit as he may have looked in spring. But you're in a spot right now where you feel pretty good. It's just games like this, you wonder if you look back and this is the difference. Seattle is really helping you out right now. I saw a Mariners fan account posting that the Mariners, after, I believe, Saturday when the Astros lost, that the Mariners are guaranteed to remain in first place at the end of the first half. And I'm wondering if the Mariners are going to raise a banner for that.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about where, yes, the Astros had an opportunity to lead at the All-Star break and didn't. At the same time, like, look how they're conducting themselves for leading at the All-Star break. Don't be that.
Yeah.
We're better than that.
We're better than that.
But like you said, missed opportunity. It's terrible. I guess we have to postpone laughing at the Mariners for a little bit. For a little bit, because they still kind of have scoreboard on you.
They, since that 2022 playoff series, have your number. And that's the first series on the other side of the All-Star break in Seattle. I mean, their offense might not show up, but their fans certainly will.
Oh.
It'll be a hostile environment.
It'll be hell on earth.
Right.
What was that long...
There was a Mariners fan who tweeted, like, we got to make them know what it's like to play in front of real fans.
Whatever was in that manifesto from that guy.
Yeah, it was one of those things where you read that manifesto and you say, I'm not reading any of that, but good job.
Good for you, or I'm sorry that happened.
Yeah,
I don't
exactly.
Know.
Like that's where we're at with them. But missed opportunity, not the end of the world. 713-780-3776 is how you call in. It's how you text as well. You can also join us on YouTube at ESPN Houston. Texas Tag says he 100% agrees with me. 2-1, 4-2. Talk about falling flat on your face. I don't think it's falling flat on your face. It's just you weren't able to get it done. And at some point, you would think there could be a moment where losses like this against bad teams, the Rangers qualify as one this year. They have been massive underachievers. You wonder if you're going to be kicking yourself over a Saturday or a Sunday L. And you better get hot. Second half of the year, you better get hot coming out of that All-Star break. I'm glad that all the Astros players are going to be out officially. Saw a couple of interesting articles written about that. I want to say it's Ken Rosenthal in The Athletic who had in my column essentially about Altuve and wondering aloud whether or not Altuve is not playing in the All-Star game while dealing with a sore hand because he doesn't want to go play in Arlington. Maybe he didn't want to play in Seattle. He's acting like it's a great loss for all of baseball that Altuve's not in the All-Star game. Is it really? I mean, I suppose for the sport as a whole, you want to have your best players there, but I don't know that a guy opting out of a couple of day vacation to Arlington is the big deal that it's being made out to be. Maybe it's because the Midsummer Classic just doesn't have the same kind of juice it once did before it counted, before the tie. But I thought it was interesting reading that and just a couple of passages in that column by Ken Rosenthal that theorized that perhaps he's averse to being booed. It was heavily denied by, I believe, Scott Boras, among others, along the way. Frustrating update for me in my life. Still no internet at my home. But you know what's even worse? As someone who's an absolute klutz with the phone, I dropped my phone, and for the first time ever in the smartphone era,
oh no,
screen crack.
Oh,
for the
no.
first time ever. And here's what's even more frustrating, because you might have heard the ding there. I no longer have the ability to make my phone silent.
Oh,
and I hate that more than anything. I hate it. So I'm getting noises for every notification under the sun, and I cannot legitimately switch it off of my phone.
Okay. I might be able to help you in the break with that.
That would be nice, but because like I've had to turn my phone off. Last night when I did KHOU, I had to turn my phone off. And I was annoyed by that. And again, small inconveniences.
No.
But see, here we go again.
That
here
was
we
perfect
go again.
Timing.
Here we go again. I mean, listen. Listen, babe. I appreciate the text, okay? Right. I hope they're saucy. But gotta say, unappreciated from the noon to three window. I will say, shout out to the fine folks at T-Mobile. Unlike Xfinity, who, even though I don't have internet still, they're not going to reimburse me for any of that time because there's like a small fine print that if a natural disaster happens, you still have to pay full price. Shout out to T-Mobile, though, because T-Mobile said, yeah, well, don't worry about it. You don't have to pay a deductible. We're just going to give you a new phone for free.
Boom.
It's an old phone, but shout out to T-Mobile.
Oh, it's not like the newest whatever iPhone?
No, it's an older one.
Yeah.
Okay. It's an older one.
I also, when I got a new phone, I also got an older iPhone.
Yeah, the thing is, like, with Sprint, you used to be able to upgrade your phone for free, and T-Mobile.
Such a great thing.
T-Mobile, it's not quite that. Like, you have to pay the taxes, and the taxes are still a lot, and I'm thinking to myself, I don't know that these new phones are all that much better with the iPhone, so I'm going to wait a little bit on that front. I also found out something. This is my, I am perhaps a lot older than my age is. We were texting because we weren't 100% sure if we were going to have internet at the building on Monday on a station group text line. Guess what I found out how to use as a hotspot over the weekend? My phone. I didn't know you could do that.
Whoa.
I'm not even kidding. I did not know that you could do that until Sunday. And of all people, it was John Granato on our group text line saying that, did you know you can use your phone as a hotspot? And I, the one of the younger people at ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, at least on the air, I had no idea that you could do that.
Wow. Welcome to 2016.
Yep. So I discovered that. I discovered that at 7 o'clock, and I ended up watching House of the Dragon and The Boys on my laptop. On my laptop. Sometimes we discover things later in life than we actually need to. Anyway, 713-780-3776 is how you call, and it's how you text in as well. You can join us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. They're commenting on my very short golden mustard shorts. Well, I'm wearing some Rockets-colored shorts in appreciation of the Reed Shepherd Show, Cocaine Curry. Wait till my dad sees you, energy. We've got that to discuss. Also, all of the updates when it comes to the Astros on the injury front as they head into the All-Star break. And get after us on Twitter, at Gallant Says, at Sean A. Mapes Behind the Glass on YouTube, too, at ESPN Houston on YouTube. It's Gallant and George, no Joe, just Paul, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
So the Astros lost 2-3 over the weekend to the Rangers, and it's a missed opportunity, especially when you consider the stretch that the Astros have to open up the second half. They have a pretty light September, but late July, all throughout August, they're going to be playing against a lot of quality teams. But at least we had this moment. So in Friday's victory over the Texas Rangers, we saw a confrontation between Hunter Brown and Adolis Garcia. A little context, the last time that Hunter Brown threw to Adolis Garcia was Game 7 of the ALCS against the Rangers. I believe he threw either inside on Garcia or plunked Garcia before later in the game Garcia took him yard. Because remember, he was absolutely red hot for game 6 and game number 7. But that was a moment that I imagine was in the back of Brown's mind when in the fourth inning on Friday, this happened.
Difference, and fans are excited about a pitch up and in, but the Astro nemesis gets hit by this pitch and he's not happy. Hit with two outs after a pitch in, he gets hit on the second pitch of that sequence, and he will slowly walk down the first.
pitch up and in on Garcia, who crowds the plate for what it's worth, and then a second one that hit him right in the elbow. Credit to Adolis Garcia. He seems to have taken some anger management classes, so he didn't end up charging the mound. Thought about it. Didn't have the kind of conniption that he had against Brian Abreu in Game 5 of the ALCS. I thought it was fun to see Hunter Brown, though, have a moment like that, especially considering he ended up having a pretty good bounce-back start on Friday. Because afterwards, after the game, talking about that matchup against the Rangers, he said this, quote, "I say it time and time again that every game in the big leagues is important. But I think, at least for me, I can't speak for anybody else, there's a little bit of extra motivation. They knocked us out of the playoffs last year, and for the city of Houston, I'm sure our fans care a lot about it. So yeah, you want to bring it, and you want to win. I know the Astros don't wear pinstripes anymore like they did during the brick jersey era, but I feel like Hunter Brown getting a win over the Rangers, saying that about a win over the Rangers, plunking Adolis Garcia along the way, may have earned his Astros brick red era pinstripes. So congratulations, Hunter Brown. Congratulations.
I really like the quote. I like the quote more than the... Or I like them together, but what really sells me on it is the quote afterwards. Yeah. Like, yeah, I don't like them. Yeah. They knocked us out of the playoffs.
Yeah.
There's something extra.
Exactly.
Like, so many times it's, you know, ball got away from me, meant no disrespect, you know, we're just trying to play a game here. No, I like him being like,
yeah.
I don't like them.
Admit that you don't like the other team. There is, perhaps, maybe not in the same level that it was last year, some juice between the Astros clubhouse and the Rangers clubhouse going back to that. I like it because there's far too little of that in sports. And as a sports fan, you want them to hate the other team the way that you do, even though they don't, because it's different for them than it is for you. But you want that. So shout out to Hunter Brown. He's got a little hate in his heart for the Texas Rangers. Also, can we call out people cheering Altuve getting a hit if we're cheering Adolis Garcia getting hit?
It's different. It's different.
Is it different?
It's different because it's us.
Fair enough. That's all we needed to say.
It's us doing it.
Just asking that question.
It's to the Rangers.
Just asking that question.
Yeah.
It's a weird line. We're all very defensive of Jose Altuve because we feel like he has been unfairly slandered throughout this cheating scandal, specifically the buzzer deal. I think Harold Reynolds over the weekend on the MLB Network had a takedown, essentially, of the idea that Altuve was wearing a buzzer there. They even used a little bit of video evidence along the way. But we're very sensitive when it comes to our Jose, and we do not like it when teams cheer him getting thrown up and in. But if we're doing it for Adolis Garcia, I don't know, maybe we should just say, you know what, those fans care. And assuming that nobody gets hurt, and assuming that everybody is healthy, I don't know. What are we supposed to do there? Because we could just be hypocrites, like Sean sort of said. Well, it's different.
Yeah, it's different.
If it's different, it's different. Perhaps we're just...
I'm okay being hypocritical. You know what? Fan gonna fan.
Fan gonna fan.
Fan gonna fan.
All right, guys. A lot of injured Houston Astros right now. A lot of injured ones. It's time for another episode of Astros ER to figure out who's healthy and who isn't as we have officially arrived at baseball's All-Star break.
If I expose exactly what's wrong with it, which will hurt him and hurt us.
You don't really know how he hurt it. Sometimes you wake up sore, hurting. You know, he's laughing a little bit more. And
he wasn't crying, but he had tears inside.
Brantley's doing fine.
He said he's feeling better.
It's not his throwing shoulder, so he should be fine.
I'd like to think I have healing power, but I don't.
This is a house of learned doctors.
Always fun with the Houston Astros and injury reports. Here's what Kyle Tucker had to say about his shin contusion. Quote, "I can't do everything normally right now, but every day it's getting a little better where I can start moving around better." What? He said he's had a good amount of imaging on his shin, saying, "I'm happy with the stuff we've been doing. It's just taking a while." Oh, yeah, you think? June 8th. It is July 15th. We are officially 35 days later. I mean, they made a movie called 28 Days Later. about how all of London got taken over by a zombie apocalypse. This is 35 days later. I mean, we're getting closer and closer to 28 weeks later, right?
Okay, if it's 28 weeks, we need an update past brews. Really bad brews.
Yeah. Really, really bad.
Really bad brews.
Really, really
I'm going to be
bad.
Zooming in on his foot to see if there's a peg leg or something. If, it, if we get, I don't know, to August and he still doesn't play?
That's not good.
I'm even giving him 15 more days.
I really want it to be on the other side. I really want it to be back in Seattle. It is alarming that it's taken this long.
Yeah.
It can't be just a bruise. It has to be a little hairline fracture or something like that. You would think. We're not doctors, but the Astros make us want to be doctors because we never know what
we
the hell's going on.
We have to be doctors. Yeah. Nope. I was mentally preparing myself for after the All-Star break for both Verlander and Tucker for a while. Seems like they're both going to be longer than that.
Yeah, I think so. Continuing through an episode of Astros ER. This is good news, I think. Justin Verlander threw all of his pitches. What does that even mean? That's how it was written up during a 25-pitch bullpen session.
What, ball?
Does somebody else throw a pitch along the way? Does he occasionally use a machine to throw a pitch?
No, I think it's, and I only know this because of Lance McCullers, is that sometimes they do, like, fastballs only. Like, they don't let you throw a curveball.
Okay, so he's throwing all of his pitches. 25-pitch bullpen session. He's going to throw another during the All-Star break. But he's doing it off a mound. Uh-oh, watch out. The Astros might be about to have a five-man rotation again.
What a time. What a time to be alive. Yeah, I mean, I figure he's... It's going to be a while, and then a rehab start, maybe another one. And then because we went through this to start the season, how slow his ramp up is, which is fine for a man of his age, but it now you're in the season. It's like, kind of need you quick, dude. And you may have heard that we've been starting Jake Bloss and Sean Dubin.
Luis Garcia, as we continue this episode of Astros ER, didn't throw a bullpen session on Friday. He's going to continue to play catch, but his rehab is slowing down. Also, that is not a setback per Joe Espada. Espada's reasoning for slowing down the rehab is that when he was having a catch on Tuesday, he wasn't feeling as good as they wanted him to. So that's fun.
But not a setback.
Not a setback.
But he is slowing down.
He's slowing down
but
a
not,
little bit.
Not a setback. This is where the Astros really shine. That could almost be added to the Dusty Baker collage at the start of this one, where it's not a setback, but we're slowing him down. Like, what are we talking about?
What does that mean?
This is classic Astros.
Also, he was spotted out, Luis Garcia, in Midtown.
I'm okay with that.
There's a picture of him. I'm not sure where, but he's lined up, it looks like, outside of a bar, like leaning over a rail. And people had all sorts of comments because he looks a little bit bigger. A little bit bigger.
Yeah, that's just bad angle.
I love some of the responses to this. Most of them are about, like, wow, he's looking extra thick. But don't you love it when people are asking a player when he's injured, wait, why is he out at a bar? Why is he out at a restaurant? Why isn't he staying inside?
Yeah, it looks like he has a belly. I pulled it up, zoomed in. I don't know if that's just a t-shirt, like the way the t-shirt's hanging, and, you know, it's just a bad, again, bad, caught him lacking. It looks like he has a belly. I'm okay with all the people being like, huh? What's going on here?
Just having a couple of Sammies, you know?
Yeah.
Sammy or two. Lance McCullers. We recently heard that they are pulling back on his rehab. Dana Brown said yesterday on the Astros pregame show that Lance received his second opinion. We just have to let time heal, and we can't push him. What the hell is that? What does time heal mean? Brown again theorized that maybe McCullers could contribute out of the bullpen in September. So no Lance McCullers in August. Also, to wrap up this episode of Astros ER, Jose Altuve played through his sore hand. Quote, sometimes you've got to play through pain. And Yordan Alvarez played through his hip tightness. But they're not going to be at the All-Star game in Arlington tomorrow.
Listen, I'm sure that his hip is tight. I'm sure that Altuve's hand is sore. This feels like a little bit of, I'm setting up for the excused absence to not be in the All-Star game, which is fine. I'm not knocking him, but this feels like the, yep, they're gutting through some injuries. Now they get a week off.
Yeah.
Which is, again, no problem with it, but that's what this is.
That's all it is.
If you, I mean, I guess, I think Yordan missed one game with the hip, thing.
Yes.
But in general, if you play all the games leading up to the All-Star game, and then you're like, no thanks. I get why you need to, like, lay the groundwork of they're playing through injury.
It seems like the only way that you can miss the All-Star break is, yes, if you have a doctor's note from the team.
Yes.
And the team can easily fudge that.
Yeah.
But with the Astros, it seems like they have three legitimate doctor's notes to make Kyle Tucker, Yordan Alvarez, and Jose Altuve miss the All-Star game. And good, because they need to rest. They need the rest.
They do.
Tough month coming up.
It does seem like it is something where at this point the season's like, surely we can find something sore on Jose Altuve to write the doctor's note for. It's like, yeah, hand. Got it. Sore.
Yeah.
Hip. Tight. For Yordan. Bruise. Deep. For Kyle Tucker. That one's legit, though.
From the 832, someone asks, can you guys give a messy injury update as if you were the Astros?
Oh, a messy one.
Yeah, no, a messy one. We're not talking about ear discomfort, okay? We're talking about ankles. Lionel Messi, did you see how swollen his ankle was?
It was big.
I would be crying, too, if my ankle looked like a grapefruit.
We don't got ice on the Argentina sideline? It seems like
they were missing a lot that stadium last night. Security specifically. For God's sakes, you had Colombians crawling through the vents to get in to that game to watch Colombia and Argentina in the Copa America final. What a disaster that was.
Yeah. But I kind of have to tip my hat to the fans. You see an opening? Literally, you see an opening?
Yes.
And it's an AC vent? You take it.
They care
more.
Tom
Cruise your way through those vents.
I think it was tweeted best by Big Cat from Barstool Sports. This is why we'll never be good at soccer. They care about it on a level that
way
we
more.
Never will. And that's 100% true. We're not going to do that to go watch a Houston Dynamo game, crawl through the vents.
I got to do that to watch a Team USA game. Like,
we wouldn't even do that for the Astros, let's be honest. Even with the 7th straight ALCS, we're not going to do that, you know? Just go to the Highway Cantina instead. But if that was an Astros update of Lionel Messi's injury, just go with good old reliable ankle discomfort.
Yeah, and day-to-day. We'll see how he feels tomorrow, even though it's the size of a coconut.
I don't think he's walking for like a week without aid. All right, that's Astros ER, 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in from the 225. Hunter Brown's performance and those LT Empo marks have me feeling some type of way Friday. Also, the Breggy Bomb margarita is not worth it. Yes, you are 100% right on that front. It's just tahini with a little bit of hot sauce. They're overpriced. Get your margaritas at the Highway Cantina before you go in there. All right. Galan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Joe's on vacation, so it's just Paul today. I am so buying in to hype of something that I shouldn't after what we've seen from Reed Sheppard over the last couple of games, the newest member of the Houston Rockets. Already? Mount Rushmore of Houston athletes? Huh? 713-780-3776. It's Galan and George.
With Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
Oh, wow. He went mixtape. Oh, he was deep in his bag like the fries were at the bottom.
There's Pop. And understanding. Isolated. Gets that defender dancing. Change of pace. Little floater in the end one. Stop it, Reed Sheppard. Crossover.
Hand up. I have no idea what that guy was talking about, and he doesn't either, with his description of Reed Sheppard's incredible possible double dribble highlight that he had in summer league action in the first game of his career with the Houston Rockets. Can we play that first part again, Sean? What in God's name is that guy talking about?
Oh, wow. He went mixtape. Oh, he was deep in his bag like the fries were at the bottom.
He was deep in his bag like the fries were at the bottom. I understand that there is a term in your bag. It's supposed to be a golf term, if I'm not mistaken, right? Like using a 5-iron or your 3-wood or your 9-iron.
This is a very Pogalon thing. It's also a basketball thing.
Deep in his bag, but it would be a golf term that brings it into this. Deep in his bag? I'm sorry. This man is not allowed to say that. He's not allowed to say that.
Wow.
Am I perhaps being racist against my own people? Yeah, I'm sorry. I just don't buy that coming out of that guy's mouth.
That's Mark Jones, who's black.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
I can't hear color, as you can tell right now. I'm sorry, no.
So now you're telling a black man what he can't say.
Well, listen, he kind of sounded white there.
You got rules on this golf course.
What do you want me to say? He sounded white.
Are you a member at the River Oaks Country Club?
Sir, you're not allowed in with these shoes. Yeah, I'm sorry. I just don't like that. I don't like that. Fries at the bottom of the bag, like that implies sloppiness, you know? They're probably cold, too, if they've fallen out of the actual fry cart.
All right. Reed Sheppard.
I am buying into the hype, baby. I am buying into the hype. And I know it's the summer league, and most of these guys are never going to play in the NBA. Don't care. He looks really, really good. He looks special. He has, I think, some handles that I did not know he had. I really thought of him, and look, I'm not going to act like I study NBA prospect film. I don't even do that for NFL draft film. But I was of the impression that Reed Sheppard was going to be more of those a shooter who was good on defense and is longer than his height indicates. We saw some defensive ability from him. We saw some, I think, really nifty and creative passing from him as well. And surprisingly really good handle. Is that going to work against real NBA players? I don't know. But if you got Ja Morant and Trae Young complimenting him the way that they were online, you got to give that some credence. And in these two summer league games to this point, and he's had a lot of help with Cam Whitmore out there, they might be just more talented than every team that they're playing against in the summer league. But I am really impressed by everything I've seen out of Reed Sheppard to this point with the Houston Rockets. And I think we got legit reason to be excited about him year one. How much is he going to play? I don't know. Fred VanVleet's probably a starting point guard, but whew, really like what I'm seeing out of Reed Sheppard.
Yeah, you can throw in all the caveats of it's only been two summer league games, like pump the brakes, all this stuff. You rather be using those caveats when your guy's playing awesome than when he sucks.
Yeah.
If he sucked, we would also be doing, well, you know, it's early. We'll give him time. He needs to adjust. But it feels much better to be like, this guy probably won't average 20 points a game in the regular season. So you can take that with a grain of salt. Obviously, the role is going to be different when you add all the best players in the league back into the mix.
100%.
But, I mean, it's more of what he's doing that you're like, oh, I didn't know he could do that.
Exactly. He's capable of more than you probably expected.
Yeah. And even, like you said, he's going to come off the bench this year unless Fred VanVleet gets hurt. It's basically the only reason he wouldn't he would start on this team this year. But the summer league is obviously worse competition, but it does give you a peek of what he can do in a second unit
for sure.
Because who's he playing next to? He's playing next to Cam Whitmore, who's going to be on the second unit, and AJ Griffin, who, if he's in the rotation, is going to be on coming off the bench. So there is some portability with what he can do this season and in his role this season, and we're kind of getting a bigger glimpse at it in, you know, obviously he's the starting point guard for the summer league team. But you can't watch what Reed Sheppers does. It's not just that he's putting up numbers. It's how he's playing that you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
This works.
And, you know, to make things even more exciting and what you're seeing out of Reed Sheppers, you're getting the kind of rhetoric that a team will claim it felt about a player 5 years after the fact, 5 years after the draft. Oh, we thought he might be good in the draft, but you know, we went in another direction. We're already seeing this, courtesy of the Atlanta Hawks. Adam Finkelstein is, I believe, an NBA reporter, and he was asked about perhaps some second-guessing of themselves by the Atlanta Hawks when it comes to not getting Reed Sheppers, instead drafting the French guy, Reese Hachet, with the first overall pick. Here is something that's going to make you think that this is Bill Polian talking.
See this. The Atlanta Hawks viewed Reed Sheppers as a, quote, potential Mahomes type of player, and he was number two on their board, and ultimately they went with the guy that had better size. But it'll be interesting to see where Reed Sheppers goes and what kind of career he has, because he was the player that finished second in this race to the Hawks, to Reese Hachet, and we might well see down the road that it could be, well, a potential mistake, because they put the Sheppard-Mahomes comp in this regard. What if Reed Sheppers turns into one of the best three-point shooters in the NBA? What if he's a guy who can give you 22, 24, 26 points per game? If that's the case, you would have automatically taken him. We don't have the answer to that. Reed Hachet narrowly beats out Sheppers to go to.
They're doing damage control 2 games into the summer league. The Hawks, who are a terrible organization and have been for a very long time. They've been one of those rough watches in the NBA, probably going all the way back to, what, like the mid-2010s when they used to have Joe Johnson and...
Even that, we're talking about like the glory days are losing in the second round.
Yeah, or as an 8 seed taking the Celtics to seven games.
Yeah.
Right, this has been a joke organization for a really long time. That they are perhaps second-guessing drafting a Frenchman, Reese Hachet, 2 games into the summer league, and that Reed Sheppers is putting these kind of highlights out there is really a reflection more of how sad the Hawks are, more than it is confirmation that Sheppers going to be great. But I love seeing it, that the Hawks viewed him as a Patrick Mahomes type of prospect. Hell yeah, baby, the Rockets got him.
A, what does that even mean? Like, what are we talking about here? He's a Patrick Mahomes-level prospect. You know what you do if you think a guy is a Patrick Mahomes-level
take
draft?
Him!
Yeah, you just pick him.
I don't know.
Were they like, well, you know, Mahomes slipped in the draft, so we gotta do our part and make sure he slips in the draft. Make sure we're the Chicago Bears of this. Actually, the Chicago Bears of this would be the Hawks, Wizards.
Yeah. Oh, the Wizards.
The Wizards,
even worse, yeah.
But I don't get what they're doing here. I mean, I get what they're doing. I don't get what they're trying to say here. Because even in that clip, they're like, yeah, but they ended up, you know, basically what they said was he can be Patrick Mahomes if he's one of the best shooters in the league. Ultimately, they went with Richard Shea. It's like, wait, but why? What was the, like, downside? They didn't leak out, like, but we weren't sure. Like, it was just we weren't sure about it. It's like, well... Yeah, he's not going to be LeBron, where you know,
right.
Like, anyone with a brain is like, yeah, that guy's going to be awesome in the league. Or Wembanyama last year. Like, guys, this is the draft. Like, no one is going to be a surefire guy, especially the guy you ended up picking. Like, this guy doesn't look that good. What are we talking about?
I think the Hawks should have just said, like, listen, we wanted to draft him, but he looks like he'll get your dad, his dad to sue you.
Yeah.
Like, let's be honest. Like, that, there's some discrimination going on. Like, some of us... handsome, smaller white people, like, that people underestimate us. They underestimate us. It just happens, okay? Like, we can't help it when we're good-looking guys that also look like they've never done hard labor in their life. Like, they have a maid, perhaps two, for each wing of the house that they live in.
Thank God Reed Sheppers went to Kentucky and not Duke.
I know. He does look like such a Duke guy, too.
He's an old-school Kentucky. I mean, because his dad literally played for Kentucky. But, like, he's an old-school Kentucky guy. Mm-hmm. You know, before they start sending guys to the draft every year, ironically enough, like Reed Sheppers, who's a one-and-done and picked third overall.
Man, The Reed Sheppard era, guys. It's going to be fun. And I mean, you see Rafael Stone out there. Rafael Stone is so cocky right now. You could tell. He was on Sirius XM radio, I think, with Justin Termine, and I forget the other person who was on with him. But he was asked about, like, hey, were you a little nervous about Reed Sheppard? Was he going to be able to, you know, adapt to the pick and roll? And Stone may as well have just put his feet up on the table while answering this question. He's so pumped about getting this guy.
I just saw him making the right read over and over and over again, right? And so my theory was he didn't have a ton of reps in it like a guy who plays in maybe a more heliocentric offense. But every time he was in it, he looked comfortable. So, you know, it's always a challenge deciding if a guy can do something that they haven't done a lot of. And we're a little cognizant of that. We weren't 100%, but I would say we'd seen enough to be pretty comfortable that it was going to be an easy transition for him, whether easy meant a day, like kind of we saw 2 days ago, or it meant 6 months. From our perspective, we don't really care. We thought the package was there to become a very good pick and roll player.
Hell yeah, dude. Now, he's just talking about the pick and roll side of it, but Rafael Stone wanted to say right there, yeah, we just got Cocaine Curry, bitch. That's right. Yeah. He can get away with double dribbles. White privilege, baby, on the court.
They're just so shocked at how much he's dribbling that they're, mm-hmm.
Whoa. I know. They're so confused here.
It's like the scene in Semi-Pro when they throw an alley-oop.
713-780-3776 to call, to text. Philip wants to talk about being deep in bags. Philip, what's up?
Hey, what's up, man? I just wanted to say, have you ever, you like, reached deep in the bag and got that onion ring at the bottom? You're like, I mean, that's what he's talking about. It's like, I mean, and on top of that, I just want to say, like, Bronny James, like, they give him so much hype. Like,
I know.
There's no, I don't know what's going on in the NBA, but Bronny James, 2 for 13 or whatever he shot. Like, they're not talking about that. I mean, they're talking about that.
Not Reed
like
Sheppard.
He's like the greatest player, and you got this guy just hitting threes, hitting buckets.
That's what he's talking
about. Deep in the bag.
Deep in the bag. Okay, listen.
It's like
that,
he finds the onion ring.
Finding that onion ring. See, that is a little bit better because onion rings. This is going to be a controversial take. Onion rings better than French fries. Onion rings are better than French fries. I'll stand on that. Oh, I don't like onions. Oh, you're soft. Soft boys. Wednesday, 12:30. You don't like onions? Soft. Onions? Rule. French fries? They're okay. It varies place to place. But to Phillip's point with the Bronny James Jr. stuff, the reason that people are talking about him as much as they are is because we live in a society that is based off of clicks, and his name, for whatever reason, it gets clicks. There's still a lot of LeBron James stands out there that are going to tell you that his seed is just as good, even though they're completely talking out of their ass.
Well, that mixed with Laker fan.
That too.
Laker
perfect storm
recent
of
Laker draft pick is gonna be overrated no matter what. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, mix that in with the fact that we're talking about Zachary Richarche as the number one pick and Alex Saar as the number two pick. They got to get you to watch these summer league games. And the way they're going to do it is saying LeBron James Jr. is here, which is basically what they're doing. But they're going, hey, remember LeBron? This guy's his son. Watch him play.
When you have, though, some of the highlights that Reed Sheppard has put out, you would think that they would dedicate a little bit more of the SportsCenter highlight package during a time where literally nothing is going on to Reed Sheppard. It's just a thought. Is Reed Sheppard too boring? Do people look at Reed Sheppard and sort of shrug collectively because of the way that he looks? Hashtag racism. But I don't know what it is. You would think that he would have gotten a little bit more buzz. Thankfully, the internet exists. We got plenty of it from the NBA Twitter account, the Rockets Twitter account, and all the Rockets Stan accounts that we have in town. But I am with Philip, his point there. It was weird that they did not, the first time when these two teams played Friday, when it was the Rockets and Lakers, they spent a lot more time on Bronny James, where Reed Sheppard had a good 3 to 4 really impressive highlights that I think merited a watch.
I wonder how much of that is that it was like game one and there hasn't been time. So now he has a little bit of momentum where, and I don't know. Listen, I'll be honest. I don't know who they play next. I don't know how many games they play in the summer league.
I don't either. All I know is that we might have, Sean, in 1 year, Sugarland Space Cowboys, first half PCL champs, Houston Rockets,
still waiting on those t-shirts.
NBA Summer League champs, Title Town.
Yeah.
We're back!
Also, either Cam Whitmore back-to-back Summer League MVPs or Cam Whitmore last year, Reed Sheppard this year, Summer League MVPs.
Ooh, we're just building that young core, as they say.
Core 7. You know what? You know what? Core 7? I'm willing to listen. I'm willing to listen if Reed Sheppard's playing like this.
I am too.
I'm willing to listen.
Is Reed Sheppard the next Caitlin Clark? 713-780-3776 to call in. Is Reed Sheppard the next Larry Bird? On Twitter, at Gallant says, at Sean A. Mapes, twitch.tv/ESPN975 on YouTube as well, at ESPN Houston. We got some things that are worthy of Texans hype. We're going to grade the Houston Astros first half of the season. All of that and more. Stick around, Gallant and George.
Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Paul and Joe inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
By the way, rock the mic. It's back. It's time to find the newest Houston sports podcast. The winner of Rock the Mic is going to get a podcast hosted on our ESPN Houston YouTube channel. So whether you have one or you've always wanted to start one, now is your chance. You just got to send a 3 to 5 minute video giving your best Houston sports take to rockthemic975@gmail.com. The winner will be announced at our live finale, August 23rd at Carback Brewery. Get your entries in now to rockthemic975@gmail.com. Now, listen, I'm a very professional man. Some have called me the most professional radio host in Houston, and I've been getting a lot of inquiries. Many people are asking me if, say, you were to make a donation to my Venmo or PayPal, if it'll help your chances. Now, I can't say whether or not it'll help your chances, but I can say it won't hurt your chances. I'm just saying. So if you can find my, I don't know, Venmo or PayPal, it wouldn't hurt your chances. That's all I'm saying, Sean. What? I'm just saying it wouldn't hurt your chances.
It won't hurt.
If you give me a little money under
anything,
the table.
You know, maybe it's good karma that you're putting out in the air.
Exactly. Really good karma.
Helping a fellow Houstonian who's in need because Xfinity is...
I have no internet.
Got him by the ankles and shaking him upside down.
Oh, the goons at Xfinity. You know, John Clayton from ESPN, the late John Clayton. When I was in Seattle, he was on my show every single day from 7:15 to 7:23. And one of the things that always made me laugh with John is if you brought up internet providers, he would lose his mind. And it was really funny. So he would call AT&T, who he had as an internet provider, he'd call them goons. Like every single day, like the goons at AT&T, I've been without internet for a couple of hours. And I don't know why. It's my favorite memory of John Clayton is him getting worked up over local cable providers and stuff.
The goons at AT&T.
He called them the goons. I loved it. And I got to say, the goons at Xfinity, who are not going to reimburse me at all, despite not having internet for a week. I don't know. In fact, did you see that a couple of restaurants have got Tony Busby in a lawsuit?
No, I didn't see that.
With a class action lawsuit of alleging negligence and gross negligence against CenterPoint Energy. I think we should get in on this.
Yeah.
I mean, did we not have issues last week as being on the air at all?
Yeah.
That's CenterPoint's gross negligence. We have all been affected, and I would love to join in another class action lawsuit.
I'm in on this. Now, I don't know how many people – class action lawsuits are weird to me because you want a lot of people on your side because it helps strengthen your case. You get more cases, you know, more experiences to draw on. You also don't want too many people.
Exactly.
Because you want that sweet, sweet payout per person to be a little bit higher.
Exactly.
You know,
that's true.
I'm not doing this for free lunch. You know, I'm doing this, I don't know, help pay rent.
I actually once was part of a class action lawsuit against, I believe, EA Sports. And I think I ended up getting like $150 out of it. Because it was based off of how many video games of the Madden franchise and NCAA franchise you'd bought over a certain amount of time. And I was like, well, I bought every single one. So I mean, for me, I'm like, I just want a couple of bucks. I think I was at an age where that $150 went a very long way.
I was going to say, 150 at certain points of your life, you're like, I'm a king.
Payday.
How would I ever spend this much money?
That's three Xbox games right here. It is Gallant and George. No Joe, just Paul. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. Coming up next, what would you grade the Houston Astros first half? How would you grade the lineup, the pitching, and the managing? All of that next. Stick around. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.